And good morning. It's May 3rd, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Is the war with Iran about to resume? President Trump says he's skeptical about Tehran's latest proposal. He's surging military aid to the region, while Iran is being forced to cut oil production because of the US naval blockade on its ports. And war is intensifying in the north. Hezbollah has been firing rockets at Israel's northern communities this morning. Today's guest is Brigadier General Yossi Kupervaser, head of the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security. Hear our conversation in just a moment. But first, your headlines. President Trump has warned he could resume strikes on Iran if they, in his words, misbehave. 4 weeks into a ceasefire, Iran has offered to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and end the war, but it wants to delay talks on its nuclear program. A US naval blockade on Iranian ports has forced Tehran to begin cutting oil production as it runs out of storage capacity. Experts estimate Iran has less than a month before all storage options are exhausted. The IDF has issued urgent evacuation warnings for around a dozen towns and villages in southern Lebanon as it ramps up operations against Hezbollah. Israeli aircraft have struck nearly 50 Hezbollah targets over the past 48 hours, including command centres and weapons depots. Hezbollah fired rockets at the border town of Avivim this morning. The group refuses to disarm. A spokesman said over the weekend that fighters move north temporarily, but could return to the southern border within 30 minutes. Israel's security cabinet is expected to meet today to discuss potentially resuming the war in Gaza. Frustration is growing over the lack of progress on Hamas disarmament. In its latest response, Hamas continues to add conditions, including retaining heavy weapons, demanding a full IDF withdrawal first, and seeking a role in the political process. President Trump's plan for Gaza calls for Israeli withdrawal and reconstruction to begin, but only after Hamas has laid down its weapons. President Trump is making good on his pledge to support allies and punish those he sees as uncooperative. He's pulling 5,000 troops out of Germany while surging billions of dollars in weapons to Middle East partners. The move follows a growing split with NATO over Iran, with Trump accusing some of them of behaving horribly. The State Department has approved more than $8 billion in new arms sales to Israel, Qatar, the UAE and Kuwait, part of the largest US military buildup in the region since 2003. And on that note, Israel is dramatically expanding its air power, announcing plans to both double its F-35 and next generation F-15 fleets in a major post-October 7th military build-up. It's part of a 350 billion shekel defense plan that signals Israel's intent on securing long-term air superiority. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick thank you to our sponsors, Susie and Kerry Friedman, made today's episode possible. Now, here's Yossi Kupervaser. Is the war with Iran about to resume? And if so, how will it look compared with last time?
It's very difficult to say because President Trump has not made up his mind. He understands the complexity clearly. And on the one hand, he understands that he cannot finish this war without getting the results that we all want to see. First and foremost, making sure that Iran doesn't have any capability to produce nuclear weapons in the future, which requires the Iranians to send out of Iran the enriched uranium they have and to give up on enrichment on their soil. At the same time, President Trump is very concerned with the fact that the Hormuz Straits are closed and he wants to see them open. There's no way to convince the Iranians to do all of that besides using force. It doesn't have to be kinetic, but it can take the shape of the blockade that we are seeing now. This is another way of using force in order to get the same results. But he might get the impression that this might take too much time. He doesn't have all the time in the world. So he might need to remind the Iranians that there are other prices to pay. He's definitely considering using kinetic weapons to convince them to accept the conditions.
The naval blockade is clearly starting to really hurt Iran.
It is starting to hurt Iran, but it's going to take time. And the Iranians still believe that they can get away from his murder and that they can convince the Americans to accept something that is much short of what is demanded from them. That's why they keep playing this game. It's a matter of who has more time. In the short term, President Trump is more than, ooh, the prices of oil are high, but it's not the same impact as the blockade makes on the Iranian economy. We see the Iranian rial really collapsing, and the situation economically in Iran is really disastrous. In the short term, the price the Iranians are paying for the continuation of the blockade is much higher than that of the Americans. But in the long term, politics come into the game. Seems that President Trump is worried that this is going to have a negative impact on the midterm elections and on its approval rates. He wants to see that change sooner than later. And that's why he considers also returning to the kinetic activity.
Fighting rages on in the north. It's clear Hezbollah will never surrender. What is the best way to deal with the threat from the north?
What we have to do is, on the one hand, stand strong with the achievement we have managed to achieve so far. Make sure that we entrench in those 10 kilometers north of the border and take action against Hezbollah's efforts to regroup, rearm, and redeploy in the south. That's what we're doing continuously. Secondly, we have to continue the pressure on Iran, because the way to make Hezbollah collapse and disarm is first and foremost to weaken Iran and to make it difficult for Iran to support it. I hope eventually this is going to bear fruit. And third is continuing the effort to convince the Lebanese themselves to take action, to make it clear to the Lebanese that the situation is not going to change for the better unless they take the necessary action against Hezbollah. We hope that not only the government of Lebanon is going to support this move, but also the population, and not only those Christians and Sunnis that you expect to support this move, but also the Shiites themselves, more voices from all walks of the Lebanese constituency, supporting the idea that something has to be done about the situation where the monopoly of the use of force from Lebanon is not in the hands of the government. They fell hostage to the whims of Iran through Hezbollah. And because of what we're doing and because of what's happening in Iran, the easier it's going to be for the Lebanese government, supported by the Lebanese people, to take the necessary action against the Hezbollah.
Is there any point in this diplomatic process with Beirut?
Not much. It's an American endeavor. We have nothing against speaking with the Lebanese government. But we are very skeptical about the chances that this Lebanese government will take the necessary steps to disarm Hezbollah. The Lebanese government doesn't feel itself strong enough. We have to weaken Hezbollah more in order to convince them. The fact that they are ready to hold this meeting, the readiness of the Lebanese government and President Aoun to meet Netanyahu, you know, to discuss peace between Lebanon and Israel, is a nice move in the right direction, but it's far from being enough.
Let's talk about Hamas. They keep trying to get around disarmament. Is the IDF just going to have to go back into Gaza and finish the job?
So far, I haven't seen a real other option. Hamas is playing around with the mediators and with the Board of Peace, raising all kinds of options that would mean that they would remain in power. This is not acceptable from an Israeli point of view, and it's not acceptable from an American point of view either. The difficult conditions that the people of Gaza are going through is another pressure put on Hamas. The only way for reconstruction to begin and for the improvement of the conditions in Gaza is by making sure that Hamas is disarmed. And we have the time. It's not the most pressing issue right now, because Hamas lost much of its capabilities. But the Gazans don't have the same amount of time that we have. So I expect them to put more pressure on Hamas to disarm. Once this is going to happen, then there's going to be a chance that we should see more flexibility on behalf of Hamas. But if not, and I'm not very optimistic.
The people of Gaza don't have any sway over Hamas. We've seen them try to protest before. They were all brutally massacred.
Well, there's always the chance that they will do something. Some of their clans did, and we are cooperating with them, allowing them to operate. There's no shortage of food, but the living conditions are quite difficult for many of the people living in Gaza. The reason for that is Hamas, that prevents the reconstruction program. That's what we have to expect. But if this is not going to materialize, and as I said, I'm not very optimistic, to say the least, we might have to take action ourselves at a time that is appropriate for us, because right now we focus on Iran and on Hezbollah, and Hamas is not a pressing issue for the time being.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. If you found this useful, do subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. And if you'd like to sponsor the show, contact us at MizGavDailyBrief@gmail.com. Goodbye.